I know you're gonna hate me for this, but I ikonini. Okay, have you guys seen German Shepherd puppies? Those babies are cute as sky. They are such cuties. Why do you think they're cuties? Because they have cuticles. Child, welcome back to It's Okay Child podcast. You see what I did there, child, you know. Okay, Sawa. Well, where healing is the best feels. And of course, I am here to frustrate you with happiness, toxic happiness. That is the only thing that is allowed to be toxic in this podcast. The toxic happiness I give you. Able just see how you laughed. Anyway, I was told, quite a number of you have told me that the introduction is normally your favorite segment. So, if you don't know me, my name is Alexandra and I am the beautiful and the funniest host of this podcast. Okay, I'm literally the only host of this podcast, but anyway, yells. So, I hope you've been good. I hope this week has been kind to you. So, before we continue, I would love to thank all of you for always tuning in, for leaving the feedbacks, for rating my podcast. No, our podcast. Hey, I share things, you know, for rating our podcast. Y'all are so special and you're just a bunch of cuties with cuticles. Popsicles, maybe? Too much? Okay, so I've stopped. So, I will not stop. So, today, I have such an amazing and beautiful guest with nuggets of wisdom. You'll just listen to her. I mean... A girl spits wisdom, not like a cobra, something, but yeah, you get. Today we're going to talk about childhood trauma, and you know, it's really funny that we don't even know we are going through childhood trauma until we actually do, because I realized the things that happened to us when we were children actually do affect the way we relate with other people when we are at this age or we are actually adults. So there's quite a lot. You'll be so shocked that something as little as your parents involving you in their arguments can actually affect you when you are a grown-up. And so much more. I don't want to spoil. Is it trailer, boo? Just wait for the whole thing. And are we not gonna talk about how All American has decided to... As in, what was that? What was that? If you know, you know. If you don't know, please just go look for that series. Thank me later. So, before I waste your time with my buns, please tune in. And, yeah. I hope you enjoy and you love something. I love you.
That's, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm also well. So before we start, please tell us more about yourself and what you do.
This is a very hard question, but we try. So my name is Nyangara. I am a podcaster. I am a business owner, a small business owner. I am a student. I am an empathetic person. I'm an empath. I am an old soul. I don't know. I feel like I don't have the vibrating energy of youth. But
ouch. Okay.
Anyway, that's a joke. But I think that sums up what I do, who I am as a person. I think maybe if someone gets to know me is when they can, because there's so much to me as a person and that I can't really describe in three words.
And you said you're a podcaster. So what's the name of your podcast and what is it about?
So my podcast is Paragraphs and Insights. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a platform where I get to express some things that I am learning through life, or I have learned through experience, or I've learned through books and getting wisdom from elsewhere. So that is my platform where I get to share that. So it's basically about life, basically about our day-to-day experiences and our relations with ourselves, especially with ourselves and with other people.
Wow, okay, because hey guys, please allow me to see for you today. Nimepewa permission.
Umepewa permission. Haizi kukataza.
Okay. So this girl is, she's such a sweet person, but also open-minded. She tells you facts, raw as it is. She doesn't sugarcoat. I just love this girl. And then, like, you're so wise, as in you are so wise. Mbakana shanga too. Like, you should just go listen to her episodes. I think all of your episodes are actually full of wisdom. Like, zote. You should consider writing a book sometime, please.
I've got a lot severally, but I'm like, mimi sasa, nilikuwa na shindo kwa edika composition, mataka niandike kitabu.
Position, say tulisha make it.
I think I'm more of a spoken word, not like spoken word in a poetry, but I'm more of a spoken person than a writing person. Like, I'm good with words, like speaking them, but when it comes to the intricate describing of things, until you know, there's some writers who you just vividly, you come on a movie, so I'm that good. But I once had a blog and people liked it, so maybe we'll see.
Yes, please, thank you. Ujua ni mimi ndo ni meku motivate, and our people here who are listening wala kusupport.
Amen to that.
Okay, so actually before we start, what makes you happy?
Wow. That is a really deep question.
Yeah, very.
What makes me happy? I feel like I have started to redefine what happy means. So I'm trying to look for happiness in the moments of my life. Like, I was making pasta, and then I went out, I was nikuwa nachukua mchicha kutoka kwa shamba, and I was like, I'm really happy, like, in this moment, making my lunch. Like, I was so happy to do that. Like, I was so excited for it, you know? So I think being happy is savoring the moment. So what makes me particularly happy is just being in those moments that make me feel very fulfilled and satisfied, when I know I'm taking care of myself and the people who are around me. I think that makes me happy.
Wow. Okay. I am so touched. Like, you're the first person who knew, Lisa, what makes you happy, and you have like a lot to say in just like a sentence. I'm like, okay, wow.
What makes you happy?
What makes me happy? I find my joy making other people happy. Like, it just gives me that full satisfaction than from doing things I do personally.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, so, you know, our topic for today is about childhood trauma.
Yeah.
And in your opinion, what is childhood trauma and how does it affect our relationships with the people around us?
Okay, so in my, let me not say in my opinion, because I coined the term. But me, what childhood trauma, how I interpret it as, is things that happen when you are a child that are mostly from your primary caretakers that affect you relate to others in the future, or how even relate to yourself. There's this lady who was saying that trauma, who had described trauma as something huge that has happened that you can't comprehend yet. You know, so she likened it to teaching kindergarten children calculus. Like, they can't understand it yet, but it will come to make sense in the future. So I think that's what childhood trauma is things happen to you when you're a child that you can't really comprehend, and your brain doesn't really know how to maneuver it properly, that you kind of need to face when you're an adult. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's true. That's actually true. And I remember you actually mentioned something like that in the episode you did on attachment styles, which I recommend guys to totally listen. Nitaacha a link hapo chini. So, like, of course, mimi nilielewa what attachment styles are, but if you don't mind explaining to people what attachment styles are and probably some of the examples before we see how it relates to childhood trauma.
Okay, so what attachment styles are, how you kind of connect with another person. So mostly they related to romantic partners, but it also applies to our relationship. It's kind of the biggest factor that dictates how we behave in our relational activities. So there are four main different types. There is fearful avoidant attachment style, there is anxious attachment style, there is secure attachment style, and there is fearful dismissive attachment. No, I've said already fearful dismissive. There's one that is a mixture of avoidant and also an anxious. So, and I remember they were relating this mostly to the people with ADHD.
Yeah,
but I wasn't, because I'm not well versed with the mental issue ADHD. But so there are those four. And for example, now with anxious attachment, when you get together, when you're getting close with someone, you tend to be extremely clingy, you have separation anxiety, you don't want to be away from them, you feel like they leave you, you know, like those kind of things. And I think a lot of people fall into that bracket. And then you have the people who are fearful avoidant or fearful dismissive, whereby this kind of people, when they get close to people, they kind of retract and they go missing. All of a sudden, they don't text you back for 4 days, and you're like, what did I do wrong? And it's just that they don't, I mean, that it's going so well, until they're like, something must be wrong somewhere.
Yeah.
And then there's the now secure attachment, where someone forms very healthy connections because they are well into their worth, they know who they are, they know what they bring to the table, and they're okay with that. So even if someone misbehaves, they don't internalize it and say, okay, maybe it's I'm the one who's wrong, or they don't self-sabotage or sabotage the situation they're in.
Yeah. Hey, lakini now what was secure? She must be nice.
Must be very nice. But we can all there, you know, that's the good thing. It's not a permanent like diagnosis, that it's a lifestyle disease. We can all get that. You just need to work on yourself a bit and understand where these things are rooted in.
Yeah, like I agree. So it's not, it's something like sort of changes with time.
It changes with time. as you work on yourself, and also as you begin having more people who are also emotionally intelligent into your life, people who are not there to just harm you, people who know what they're doing, you know. So now when you get people who also call out when you're self-sabotaging, and you're like, okay, I need to check myself. So it's something that you can actually grow out of.
Yeah.
Doesn't need you to be crying every other time. It's something that you can work on, yeah. Unless now the trauma is very deep and you actually really need a therapist.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so how do these attachment styles contribute to childhood trauma? Like, how are they correlated?
Attachment styles are kind of affected by, they correlate to our childhood trauma by how we related to our primary caregivers,
mm-hmm.
that is our parents or your aunts or whoever was taking care of you when you were a child, because they're the people who unatafuta upendo kwao. Kizungu imenichanga.
Yeah, okay, Kiswahili tunaisikia we. Okay.
So they're the people who you expect to show you affection. Yes, that was what I was trying to say.
Mm.
But you find that most of our parents also have their own traumas that maybe they have not dealt with.
Yeah.
So they pass them to us. So now because their parents are not emotionally available, they also become emotionally unavailable. Mm. They don't hug you as a kid enough, or they only congratulate you when you pass your exams, and other things that you do are kind of irrelevant. So you kind of grow up internalizing that when you're the best at something is when you receive affection. So you go out into the world kind of being an overachiever and overgiving, and you end up being in relationships that are imbalanced because you're giving too much and receiving too little, you know.
Mm.
And you're constantly looking for other people's approval. So for someone who has a secure attachment, you'd find probably they had a very good relationship with their parents.
Yeah.
You know, parents can openly say that they love you. You know, some of us do not ever hear that. They brag about you to their friends, but will never tell you to your face, congratulations, or you make me proud. You know, things like that.
Mm.
So anxious attachment is probably when you, as a child, I know for me, I'm working out of my anxious attachment because I felt like I was given the burden of being the in-between, especially as a firstborn. You're in between your parents, you're in between your siblings, you're the one kind of taking care of everything because the parents are maybe too busy with work. And when they come, you're the one supposed to be. You have made dinner, you have cleaned the house. They have an argument, you're the one who's in between. You know, so you're trying to take care of everyone at the same time.
And they're still
they kind of Yeah. So now you grow up, and I found out about that when I was in therapy, because I didn't know that whatever was happening when I was like in primary school was what was manifesting into my relationships.
Mm.
So it's crazy to see how these things, and we feel like, you know, when people say this statement of, I also went through that, my father didn't hug me and I grew and I'm okay, you know, like I turned out fine.
Mm.
But we really never turned out fine. We still have issues that we need to deal with so that we can have like healthier relationships. So people who are distant maybe had extremely distant parents, or who never ever, they did not see any sort of affection. Actually, when you walk on a particular affection, like you were number one class. Mm. I tell you, in primary school, I used to be such a performer. Such a performer.
The choppy.
I couldn't fail because I knew that I made my parents proud. And I find that also manifesting in me in university, because when I fail, I get so stressed.
Mm.
And it's like, imagine who is it, Peter Kinaki? Sometimes something will have to give. Something will have to give.
That's ka unit. That's ka one unit.
You know, when I took class, unangalia to like una jubiza, what is this mister saying?
Yeah.
So that is just how they relate. You think back to how your relationship with your parents is, and most of us do not have like really healthy relationships with our parents. We just kind of accepted who they are as people because they're also very stubborn and don't want to work on traumas. Yeah.
Wow.
okay, so like, is there like at which point in your life did you actually realize that the childhood trauma was affecting you?
I didn't realize it was the childhood trauma, but I feel like I got to a point where I knew I needed help, because I got to a point where I was having suicidal thoughts and I was having anxious attacks. So, like, the first time I had a panic attack was in 2020. And it was in a situation when I was getting to know someone, and now that anxiety of, will they leave me? I stayed, after that situation, I stayed a while without me talking to anyone. And then at the end of the year, I started talking to someone new, and those emotions started bubbling up again. But I never related them to being like some trauma that I didn't work on, because before those situations, it was actually manifesting in my friendships, because I was trying so hard to be the person who shows up that, you know, you kind of neglect yourself. So now, I think December last year was my lowest point, and that is when I knew, okay, something has to give, like I need to get help. And now when I went to see the therapist for the first time, and after we talked for almost 2 hours, and the session is usually supposed to be 1 hour, but I kept on. It's like I just needed the release. So when she kind of kept on asking about, okay, so what happened before until you got to the childhood, and then she pointed out that, okay, so this is what happened in your childhood, and that's how maybe possibly it's affecting how you're relating with other people. And that's when I made the connection between my childhood trauma and what was happening to me at that time. So I think that was just this year, that was when I connected the two dots. The entire time I was just living through it. I was just thinking, you know what? Maybe I'm a good person and people just take advantage of me. But in reality, I was a person with a poor boundary, trying to people please everyone, and attracting narcissists and attracting people who are going to take advantage of me. You know, not necessarily because they're bad people, but because they're projecting their own problems onto me, and they need me for the ego stroking and things like that. So It was very difficult to get to that point, and you don't need to get to rock bottom so that you can go and get help. You don't need to.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's deep. Like, I didn't know kitu tu moja enye ilikufanyikia ukwa mtoto ineza like sum up a lot of things. Way, but see, many people might be struggling with that and they don't even know.
And we think that childhood trauma ni kupigwa ukiwa mtoto. Me, my parents never, like, were not abusive to me. Kuchapa, of course, ulichapa siwe tena sleepa zile tu juu ulikula kari. But they were not abusive, either like verbally or like physically. They were not abusive. My parents, I was not molested as a child. You know, like people, when people talk about trauma, people feel like it's those big, big traumas. And for a long while, I also was in denial. I was like, I'm being ungrateful because the people who go through worse, but trauma is trauma. If something affects you in a certain way, it affects you. It doesn't help you to deny your own situation. Because I remember in that December when I was going through that depressive episode, I was telling myself, why am I exaggerating things? I can't be depressed, you know, like no one has diagnosed me. I'm just, you know, you're already telling yourself you're faking it, and these are real things that are manifesting in your physical reality. But I didn't want to accept it, because somehow I convinced myself it wasn't that bad. You know, you're telling yourself, it's not that extra, I'm being too much. So the trauma doesn't have to be your parents were abusive. It might just be one parent was working way too much, and the other parent now was more concentrating on like the house and things like that, or they were also working too much, so you never had anyone present, or you were left with the maids, or your siblings were bullying you. It might be just very minute things that happened over time that kind of affected how you relate to others. So I don't want people to feel like they didn't go through some issues just because their parents are not divorced. Parents arguing and putting you in the middle can cause trauma because they are making you kind of choose sides. Yeah. And when you see them argue that when you're young, you can't really comprehend what's going on. So it doesn't have to mean that they are separated, or you don't have to see the ugly side of them having affairs or things like that. It's just there are different degrees to it, and I thank God because I am able to work on whatever happened to me and kind of build that relationship now with my parents, because I told them, you know what, I went to therapy and this is what I was told, so I do not need to be in between you people, because I have already been carrying that burden for too long. I'm not your therapist, and then you decide DM and you just say
but yeah, and to be honest, you had to. Yeah,
I had to be. And the funny thing is, these people, our parents, wata argue leo na asubuhi wa mke wamechukua kitanda moja ni kama nothing happened. And they are stressed. You know, when you're young, you always think that any small argument is them leaving each other.
Yeah.
You're there stressed, and it's like, it's marriage, it happens. So your trauma is valid. Whatever you're going through, it's valid. It's not a social media trend. So if you're not feeling anxious, you're not feeling anxious. You will know when something is not okay. And when you feel like something is not okay, please try and open up. Try and get help. There's no shame to it. We were all messed up in some way by our parents, however amazing our parents are and how much we love them. Sometimes people just project things. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a lot, but it's true. It's true, yeah. And now, how can we help those who are struggling with now various forms of childhood trauma? Because, yeah, of course, you've said, si kila mtu labda alichapwa. Like, for you, you didn't have a safe parent, but maybe for someone else, alikuwa na, how was as the, when I'm tusi, a mother ever fighting, and it was just a stressful childhood for them. So, how do we help them?
I think first and foremost is just acknowledging whatever problem was there that can be or is a trigger for you.
Mm-hmm.
So as you could just go and open up to them and tell them, you know what, this is what happens when you people maybe argue, or this is how you made this made me feel as some type of way that time that you hit me, or that time that you told me this, you know. Open up, and sometimes not all the times, but sometimes they will care enough to be careful not to repeat those instances that trigger you. So, but there are some those unfortunate cases where the parents just honestly do not care that much, or they do, but they just don't know how to get out of their own asses and be better people. You know, some people just have shitty parents, and I feel like when you're in that situation and you can't move out of home, have strict boundaries. The worst they can do, they can do very bad things, but I think the worst they can do is try and take down that wall of boundaries that you've set up. But whatever happens, your peace of mind is what is most important. And if you can't get away of that situation, please just know that they are projecting, and they do not really mean harm. Sometimes, and it's so malicious, but just know they do not mean harm. It's not even about you, it's about them.
Yeah.
So I think when you take away that hurt from them just intentionally hurting you, and know that it's people projecting their own shit onto you, it kind of becomes less hurtful, because it's not personal. You now just look at things like, oh, you don't like the way I dress, that's a you problem, that's not a me problem. For me, I'm happy. So you do your own thing, you know. And I hope your demographic is people who are now getting are now being adults properly. So we are trying out this adulthood thing. So it's very important to know how to have a foot down, especially with family relations, because these people can mess us up. They know how to step over your boundaries. They do know how to press all the buttons. So have strict boundaries. If you can get out of home, get out of home if it is a situation that cannot be resolved. But first thing is try talk and try find a middle ground where your peace is being accounted for. Yeah.
Wow. That is so wise. When I tell you she's wise, you see what I'm telling you? She's the wise. Unaona, I'm scared too.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Like, as we finish now, like, what are your last words to everyone in general regarding childhood trauma?
I'd say your trauma is valid, your issues are valid, but they do not define who you are or who you are meant to be. So do not take that, I have anxious attachment, or I'm a depressed person, or I live with depression, and have that as your main identity. Like, you can live a very full life even with some things that happen. Like, you know, some things might cause you too much pain, but the pain isn't really permanent. You can still live a full life. So do not lose hope. You can work on yourself. You can intentionally have people around you who bring out the best in you. And these things are not written off to traumatize your life forever. You outgrow trauma. You heal from trauma. It takes a bit of time. It takes a bit of intentionality, but you'll get there. So do not worry about it. Do not. I feel like when I was going through my previous depressive episode, I was so scared. I was like, now is this going to be my life forever? You know, when you wake up and you're not excited about life, you're just like, this life is just inherently pointless, you know. Don't let yourself get to that space. Appreciate whatever steps you're making, even if it's little. Even if today you told your mom, you know what, I have to go out, I won't be able to be back to do the dishes early. Hiyo tu, atete atete akimaliza atanyamaza, nyumba ni yake, si yako. So yeah, we'll be fine at the end of the day. I think we are a generation that is trying to heal, and we don't want to pass on those generational curses and problems and traumas onto our kids.
Yes.
And that is a beautiful thing. Yeah.
Wow. Hey, okay, before now I do my vote of thanks. What are your social media handles if people want to reach out to you?
So my podcast handle is paragraphs.and.insights. That is on Instagram. My personal handle is Nyangara_. There's no apostrophe between the G and the A. So Nyangara, but that's not my name. My name is Nyangara _. I'm not really that active on Twitter, so Twitter too, it's about trolling other people, so I'm not really into that. But yeah, please go follow my podcast page. Hata mimi mkosa kunifollow ni sawa.
Wataku follow.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. Thank you so much for giving us your nuggets of wisdom. I feel empowered today. Yani mimi na nisha make it. Nisha make it because of you. So thank you so much for spending your time to be here.
Thank you for having me. This is actually the first podcast that I'm a guest to, by the way.
Whoa, for real?
So it's a milestone for me also. It's a very big milestone for me.
Oh, thank you. I feel so happy. Rala, please, you guys, if you're looking for someone who is wise, know you. Mimi ni referee wako. Umesikia, ukipata kazi, usinisahau.
Like I said, she's a bombshell. She just dropped the bomb and you guys exploded. Anyway, I hope you love this episode, and I hope you do share it with a human being like you. Even animals too, by the way.
Sounds amazing.
Till next time, guys. Blessings, love, and so much light. But still, light your lampstand too. Okay, too much. Bye.